don't hear me.
Good evening. I hope you all are well. Please excuse the rendition because the camera is pointed towards you all. And there are people in Thousand Oaks who are joining us for the class. If you want to come and take a look at what they're seeing, it's right here. Okay. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. They're familiar with the Anabakoa, but you're not. And that, excuse me, normally I start the class by saying the Anabakoa. But since I'm going to teach you the Anabakoa tonight, I'm not going to start the class. And also, normally I start the class by reading from the Zohar. But I'm not going to start it because during the course of the class, I will read from the Zohar when we get to that section of the class. This is the first class that starts to give you tools. Every class from this point on, for the rest of the 20 classes, will give you a tool, something that you can take into your life and utilize. That's the definition of a tool. The purpose of you utilizing it, number one, you have free will. You can choose to use this tool, but not that tool. You can choose to use all the tools. You can decide, doesn't make any sense, whatever. The purpose of the tools is to assist you in shortening the process. Everybody has a correction to make in this life. Most of the time we don't learn what that correction is. We just go through life and experience things. And we don't understand why it happens to us or what its meaning is. As we discussed last week, we only have 229 years left before the Armageddon War will happen. The Armageddon War does not have to happen. And the reason that Kabbalah is being brought to the masses in this generation is because it does not have to happen. But people have to be doing their spiritual work in order for it not to happen. These tools are to assist you in shortening the process of your spiritual work. Everybody was given something to do in this life. Everybody was given part of the correction of Adam because we all participated in the sin of Adam. And when I say sin, I'm talking sin Kabbalistically. I'm not talking sin based on Western civilization, Western society. If somebody talks to you about sin in Western society, they're saying hell and damnation, they're saying things that can't be changed. I'm not even sure what they say. When I say sin, there are three words in Hebrew that mean sin, and there are no synonyms in Hebrew. So each of those words, when they're used, have a very specific meaning. The word that is used talking about the sin of Adam is chet. Chet means missing the mark. You made a mistake. You do it over again. And that's literally what's been going on for 5,771 years. We all have been missing the mark. This knowledge was available, it has been available from the beginning, from the creation. And as we went through last week, that creation was not the Big Bang. It was way before the Big Bang. The point is, in our life, we don't know what we are to do. But These tools over the next 20 weeks will assist you in learning what you are to do. And they will assist you in knowing what is going on in the world and understanding the world and protecting yourself from the chaos that's in the world. And ultimately removing the chaos from your own life. Now the first tool is the blueprint of creation. By the way, Donna and Stuart, are you able to hear me all right?
Perfectly.
Great. The first tool I'm going to give you, I know people will not do for a few weeks, but eventually you will come to understand that it's important to do. I write an email every week, which you can go to the website, yeshem.com, and sign up for. And I highly recommend you sign up for it. It's free, and you won't understand it when you first read them. And the reason you won't understand them is because I'm talking about the energy of the week. Every week in the cosmos, in our universe, a metaphysical energy comes into play. And every week is different. Every week becomes something new. And that new has both a positive aspect and a negative aspect. The cycle works Saturday night through the following Saturday night. That energy comes into play. The previous Saturday, before it comes into play, the Torah reading that takes place in the synagogues is a protection shield for what that energy is going to be that week. So what I'm recommending to you is to go to a synagogue an hour a week, an hour and a half a week, and hear the reading of the Torah. Now, I know you don't know Hebrew, and it feels uncomfortable. There are different groups of Jewish people. One is called Reform. One is called Conservative. One is called Orthodox. Another is called Renewal. Another is called something else. I forget right now. Whatever synagogue you begin to feel comfortable in, and I suggest you experiment. But understand, the Orthodox synagogue reads the whole Torah over a year. It's split into 52 different sections. Over the year, the whole blueprint of creation is read. The other groups are only reading a third of that. They read that whole blueprint over 3 years. What's the difference? The real difference is the amount of energy that you're receiving. If you only hear a third, you're getting less energy than if you hear all of it. But it's not a problem to only hear a third. You're going to get enough protection in that third to make it work. The purpose of the Torah reading is to provide you with that protection shield for the energy coming up that night, for that week. The next week's Torah portion brings in that protection shield for the next week. I'm suggesting you go to a synagogue and hear the Torah. Why does the Torah work like that? Because it uses the first item created by the Creator, the Hebrew letters. The Hebrew letters are unique. They're not like any other language. What makes them unique is the Creator created it. the Creator assisted people in making other languages. At the Tower of Babel, and you know the story of the Tower of Babel. At the Tower of Babel, God confused the languages. God assisted people in determining what language, what word would mean what. He assisted people in developing the grammar. But the Hebrew language throughout the world and throughout every society is called the holy language. And it's because it is holy, whatever holy means. Because I haven't told you, I haven't defined holy for you. One of the aspects of the Hebrew language is to transfer metaphysical energy from the higher worlds, from the spiritual worlds, into the physical world. Another aspect, and you all know the adage, your eyes are the window to the soul. The Hebrew language, just by looking at the letter shapes, transfers the energy to your soul. And it causes your soul to change. It causes your soul to make itself change. It causes your soul to choose to change. There is no loss of free will. There can never be coercion in spirituality. The Creator cannot come down per his own agreement. He cannot come down and say, I command you to do something. And yet, when you go to a synagogue, you will hear people talk about God's commandments. You will hear people talk about the Ten Commandments. That's not the correct phrase. The actual phrase is Esser Dibrot. Esser means ten. Dibrot means words or sentences or utterances. It's talking nothing about commandment. In fact, I'm going to go very strong with this class, with this group, because the word tzav in Hebrew means command. And the Zohar, which I will explain in a few minutes what the Zohar is, the Zohar teaches us that command is idol worship. Now you all know that the second Esser Dibrot is do not have another idol, do not have a god before me. You know this. But what you don't know is the Esser Dibrot that comes from the Protestant Church, and the Esser Dibrot that comes from the Catholic Church, and the Esser Dibrot that comes from the Torah is different. They're all slightly different. Their verbiage, translation is different. But ultimately, in the Torah itself, there are two sets of Esser Dibrot. And there are 32 differences between the two in the Torah itself. Why 32? Because the word lev in Hebrew has a gematria, a number value of 32, and lev means heart. It teaches us that these Esser Dibrot has to come from the heart. It can't be a command. If I say to Bob, please go turn that light off over there, and Bob gets up and goes there, who's turning off the light? Bob or me? I didn't command. I asked him. You're doing it because you physically walked over there. But I'm doing it because I'm asking you to. So together we are doing it. When you do it by your choice, you become a cause. You become a co-creator with the ultimate creator in our physical world. That's why the physical world was created. for us to be co-creators with the Creator. If you do it because I told you to, as I commanded you, then I am the Creator and you are the effect. We are here to be creators. We are here to be causes, not effects. We cannot, when we do something that is commanded to us from someone else, then we become an effect. That's idol worship. That's what the Zohar is explaining at its deepest level. An idol is not something that you bow down to. An idol is something you cannot let go of. There are people who love to watch football games, soccer games, watch TV. They're addicted to it, in a sense. They're not able to let it go. This is being an idol. And you are not in control. You are not a cause. You don't decide to change the channel from one station to the next. You're just playing out a movie, and we'll talk about what that means in a few weeks. The Hebrew letters were created by the Creator to transfer metaphysical energy. The first tool, the strongest tool we have, is to hear that message, which is not morals and ethics, but energy, every Saturday morning. Why Saturday morning? Because Saturday is the Shabbat. Saturday is the seventh day. Saturday is the day of manifestation. There were 7 days in creation. And throughout all of societies, throughout all of cultures, no one has ever changed a week from 7 days. No one has ever said, it's easier to divide by five. Let's make it five into 365 days. Why do we have seven? It's an odd number. It doesn't make any logical sense. And yet no culture and no society has ever changed it. Because there's truth in that number seven. That Saturday is a manifestation. The church came along, and I'm not attacking the church. The church came along and said, the Jews are doing Saturday, we're going to do Sunday. The Muslims came along 600 years later and said, the church is doing Sunday, the Jews are doing Saturday, we're going to do Friday. Now you know why the Muslim Sabbath is Friday and the Christian Sabbath is Sunday. What is the correct day? The day that the energy of the cosmos resonates with, it's Saturday. Tool number one, hear the Torah. And as I said, I know you won't go. It's crazy right now. It's not your background. But if you choose to go, you will find that many places will not make you welcome. Find a place that makes you welcome. Find a place that is open for you to learn. But also know that the people in every synagogue are not necessarily spiritual people. They are religious people, and there is a significant difference. Go and hear the Torah. That's what you're there for. You'll meet people, you'll befriend people, they'll befriend you. That's all good and well and important. But you're there to hear the Torah. If you go to a synagogue and people are talking to you when the Torah is being read, excuse yourself and go sit where nobody's talking to you. Because you are there to hear the Torah. It's your protection shield. The next tool that you have is the Zohar. The Zohar is made with Hebrew letters in a language called Aramaic, not Hebrew. The reason it's made with Aramaic letters or Aramaic words is because Hebrew transfers what is called positive and negative energy. In the Torah, we hear people kill each other. I think we can all agree that killing is a negative act. We hear about the rape of certain women, God forbid. We can all agree that that's a negative act. That energy is transferred. Aramaic does not transfer that energy. The letters themselves, the way the words are built and designed, they do not transfer negative energy. I'm not going to go into how that is or why that is. And if you ask anybody who's academic oriented, they will tell you that I am absolutely crazy. But I know what I know, and I teach what I know. The people, what the academic will teach you is that the Zohar was written 1,000 years ago in the year 1170 by a rabbi in Spain called Moses de Leon. And as soon as he finished writing it, he died. And they will tell you that he said it would sell better if I make it written by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who lived 1,000 years earlier. What is this book called the Zohar? Written in Aramaic, a language of the people, not the language of the Torah. Why did the people speak Aramaic? Why didn't they speak Hebrew? People in earlier generations are higher spiritually. We fall every generation. That is the opposite of what Western civilization teaches. Western civilization teaches we are smarter than our fathers. We use more technology than they did. Hebrew in the Jewish religion, disregard religion. The spiritual path teaches that each generation is lower spiritually than the generation before it. The people 2,000 years ago, 2,500 years ago, 3,000 years ago, knew things that we have lost. One of the things they knew is that Hebrew transferred negative energy, but that Aramaic did not. And they chose to speak Aramaic so they didn't transfer negative energy. What's wrong with transferring negative energy? Why does the Torah do it? It does it because nothing is really negative. It's just whether the vessel is ready to receive it. If you, God forbid you ever have to do this, but if you go interview people who are murderers and you ask them, what did you feel when you pulled the trigger? They will talk to you about the adrenaline rush and the high and the revelation of light that they felt. They didn't have a vessel to handle. Why does that happen? Because the taking of a life is the revealing of all of the potential light that person could have revealed in his life. And it gets transferred to that person who killed him. But he's not able to handle it. And that's why we have what we have, the chaos that comes from it. Ultimately, there is no evil. And I know that sounds crazy. It means that the vessel isn't ready to handle that level of energy. If I take a 220-volt air conditioner and I plug it into a house line, 110 volts, what's going to happen?
Burn the wires.
I burn the wires. It's chaos. It doesn't work. Is that the fault of the vessel known as an air conditioner? Is it the fault of the electricity that we can call light? It's the wrong vessel and the wrong structure. That's chaos. It's not evil. The Zohar is written in Aramaic so that it will not transfer. There is a conversation that takes place between you and between your higher self, soul, and the Zohar itself. And the conversation goes like this. I'm going to be reading for the next 1 or 2 minutes. I'm going to be scanning for the next 2-3 minutes. How much energy do you want? I want this much energy. Okay, that's how much energy I'm going to give you. I could give you more if you wanted more. Do you want more? No, I'll just take this much. Because your higher soul knows where you are spiritually and what you can handle. That conversation takes place. And what I am saying to you and suggesting that you do every day is read Zohar. Scan Zohar. How much, how little, is up to you. 1 minute, one letter, 5 minutes, an hour, it's up to you. How much energy do you want? Build from 1 minute to an hour over time. Stay at 1 minute because your life is busy and that's all you have time for. It's all correct because it's always relative to where you are. Now, where do you get a Zohar? You can buy this set of books with 23 volumes for $450. And I think you know what I'm going to tell you. I'm not pushing books. I'm not telling you to go out and spend a half $500. That's not the idea. So where else can you get a Zohar? You want all of it? This is the technique. But where can you get it for less? There's a Zohar sold that's a pocket size. It's literally 3 by 5 inches. It costs about $14 or $15. And it's the kind of thing you can put in your purse or in your pocket, and you have 2 minutes, you take it out and scan it. There is no English in that book. It's only Aramaic. But the energy is in the Aramaic letters. It's in the Hebrew letters. You don't need the English from this book. Why do I read the English? Because my ego says I want to understand. It's not because there's energy in the English letters. There is, but it's on a much lower level than what's available through the Hebrew. You don't want to pay even the $12 or $15 for free. There's a website called dailyzohar.com. You register for it. The next day you start receiving in your email a paragraph a day, sometimes 2 paragraphs. You read or scan that. It takes you 1 minute, 2 minutes. There is an English summary of what's in the paragraph. It's not a translation. Person who runs this website believes that it should never be translated, that it can never be translated, because Hebrew is the holy language. It's speaking to you on 70 different levels at once. How can you translate that? Yes?
2,700.
There's actually... We refer to the 70 levels of Torah, but we also refer to the 1,000 levels of Torah, 1,005. We refer to the 3,000 parables that King Solomon wrote in Proverbs, but there's not 3,000. It's all different understandings of the same thing. There's many levels in the Torah. Your name and what you did, the year you were born, the year you will die, God forbid, all of it is written in the Torah. Everything is known. Every human being that ever existed is concealed in the Torah and what they are there to do. Go find it. We'll show you how to find it. One of it is the verses that are your energy verses in the Torah. That's in our website, yeshem.com. Those verses are speaking to you. It's God speaking to you today in your life. It's not a verse coming from Psalms or Proverbs or the book of Exodus. It's a verse that God said anybody named Bob needs to have this information throughout the generations. This is what Bob came to do in this world. I have to understand it. It's, again, concealed. It's coded. It doesn't say, Bob, go do this. But it explains what Bob does by looking at it. And we will help you understand those verses. But start with the Zohar. Sign up on dailyzohar.com. Get the email every day. There's also everything in these 23 books is available online for free. It's not as easy to read because it's not designed to be read. But they did put on all 23 volumes is there. And that also is on my website. On the right in the lower, it says Zohar. You click on it, and it will take you to that link, starting with the prologue and going through parasha by parasha, week by week. Because the Zohar is written as a commentary on the Torah, but it's really the inner essence of the Torah. It's the soul of the Torah. The scroll itself is the body. The Zohar is the soul. Just as you have a soul and a body, so does the living Torah, because it is living. The third tool is called the Ana B'Koach, and that's the pages that I gave you, asked you to print out and to bring with you. And actually, let me stop 1 minute and read a verse from the Zohar like I do in every class. And the reason that I read a verse from the Zohar is because I'm bringing the level of Kedusha, of holiness, of only positivity that is represented by the Zohar. The Ana B'Koach, which I'm going to teach you, which I also say at the beginning of every class, is the energy of creation. The Zohar is the energy of Kedusha, the energy of holiness. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kodanei Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kodaneihu. Tachatei Moshe Ishtalim Yatir Me'avahan V'din D'malil Imei Kudshabarichu Midarga Ila'a Yatir Mikulhu U'Moshe Panima'a Devei Malka Ila'a Havavi Alda Ketiv Yera El Abraham El Yitzhak El Yaakov V'Gomer V'ha Okimna Mile. Come and see, Moshe was more perfect than the patriarchs, because the Holy One, blessed be He, spoke to him from a higher grade than all of them. Moshe frequented the inside of the king's house, which is there on pin, namely that he was of the aspect of God, who is the inner aspect of Zeranpin. Therefore it is written, and I appeared to Abraham, to Yitzhak, and to Yaakov, and we have already explained this. The question the Zohar asks, and that commentators have asked, and most people don't ask because they are afraid to, or they don't think about it. It says in the Torah, in the book of Exodus, what we're reading in Vayera, it says, I was known to Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov as El Shaddai, a name of God. But I was not known to them as the Tetragrammaton, the name of mercy. And the Zohar is asking, how can that be? Is Moshe higher than Abraham? And the answer is actually, Abraham is higher than Moshe, but Moshe is higher than Abraham because he is the leader of the nation. One person cannot be as strong, as powerful, as unified, as more than, as a nation. And understanding that relationship, understanding why did Abraham's children have to be built into a nation? What was the purpose of that? Is all tied up into that statement. I was not known to Abraham, Yitzhak, or Jacob as the Tetragrammaton. I was known to them as El Shaddai. That understanding, which is deeply concealed even in the Zohar, is part of what Kabbalah teaches us. The Anabakoach. Now I've asked you to bring three different pages. The first one, the brown one, has the easy reading of the Hebrew letters. Now the Hebrew is read right to left, top to bottom. It's not left to right. It's right to left. You also have the transliteration into English letters of what the sound of the Hebrew letters are. And at the end of each verse, you'll see six letters. The Anabakoach is the energy of creation. It's what the Creator used 42 letters to create the Tzimtzum and all of the Big Bang and everything in our universe and on all the universes. These 42 letters. Can you hold the energy of the Big Bang in my right hand? Can I hold it in my right hand? No, I can't. But I can hold it when I say the Anabakoach. Because what is truly the energy of creation? It's the energy of balance. What do we feel when we're in chaos? We feel out of balance. This tool, which is a very important tool, it's called the Kabbalist Prayer. I will sing it to you. I will sing it to you with a chant. First off, recognize my voice is not good, so it's I'm not about to make it beautiful. But it is a chant that resonates with my soul. On YouTube, there's probably 500 different videos of people singing different chants to the Anabakoach. Go to YouTube. Experiment for yourself. Find the tune that resonates with your soul. You're going to be asked to say this daily. You're going to be asked to say this as often as you feel unbalanced and whenever you feel unbalanced. When I do the Anabakoach in the classes, it takes about 10, 12 minutes. I know people who meditate using the Anabakoach, all seven verses, for 3 hours. Most of us don't have that kind of time. Most of us don't even know that if you meditate in a building that has metal, has iron in its walls, you're precluded from it going to where your meditation would take you. Doesn't mean that it's a waste of time or energy. It just means there's a blockage there. But it's good practice. I can say the Anabakoach in a minute. Or I can take 10 or 12 minutes. Or I can take 3 hours. It's up to you what you want to do with it. But learn to say it. Memorize it. Learn how to utilize it in your life. Before I start singing this to you and walking you through this, and I cannot teach you tonight in all that you need to know about it, because you need to experience it. You need to do it. You need to practice it. You need to take it into your life. In 1993, one of my teachers, Rabbi Berg from the Kabbalah Learning Center, got a message to go to Libya. Rabbi Berg wears a kippah. He looks like a religious man, a religious Jewish man. And he's not, religious Jewish people are not welcome in the state of Libya in 1993. They're still not welcome, but that's beside the point. In 1993, what was in Libya was the government of the Palestine Liberation Organization in exile. He got a message, Rabbi Berg, to go to Libya. He has a Kabbalah Learning Center in Paris. There are a lot of people in Paris who were expelled in the 50s from North Africa during the colonizations, and England and France and Belgium were dealing with their colonies in Africa and around the world. France gave the liberty to the North African states, and they threw out the French from their country. And since these people spoke French, they moved to France, and mostly they moved to Paris. And many of them, not all, not even a majority, a small part of them, were Jewish. The Kabbalah Learning Center was in Paris. Rabbi Berg was visiting there when he got this message. They said, go to Libya. He asked around, who has contacts in Libya? One of the people who was a member who attended that synagogue had contacts. I have contacts, I'll arrange it, Rob. They got on a plane one morning. They got off the plane in Libya. Doesn't have a visa, doesn't have... It's a U.S. passport. He's not welcome in Libya. Walks through customs untouched. Gets to the hotel. Now the student is saying, Rob, what are we doing here? You told me to arrange it, I arranged it, what are we doing here? Rabbi Berg says, I have no idea. Let's have dinner and go to sleep. The next morning, they get in a cab, and he says, take me to the Palestine Liberation Building. Cab drives up, and guess who's in the building and around the building? And it's not a small building. There are guards. They're going to protect the building. They know that the Israelis would like to attack it. They're protecting themselves. Rabbi Berg gets out of the cab. And he starts walking around this building 7 times. And all the time that he's walking around the building, he is saying the Ana Bakoa, the Kabbalist prayer, what I'm going to teach you. He's bringing the energy of creation around and into that building. Why is he doing that? Why are they telling him to do that? And he didn't know to do that. They didn't tell him. He just knew to do it. What happens in the Torah, you've all heard the verse, and most of us don't even pay attention to it. You've heard of the plagues that were visited in Egypt that allowed the Jews to go free. And some of those plagues, the blood, the frogs, Pharaoh said no. But then there's a few of those plagues where it says, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. What kind of a good merciful God make someone say no so that he can give more pain? This is not the God that I've told you about. The God I've told you about is merciful. The God I told you about is good, only good. There can be no pain from this God. What does it mean to harden Pharaoh's heart? And it's a very simple. God brings the person back to the level of free will. If you've just been in pain, are you able to make a decision based on free will? Are you able to look at things clearly? Or are you going to look at it from the standpoint, I'm in pain? I want the pain to stop. Hardening Pharaoh's heart means bring him back to the level of free will. Now, I believe what I'm going to tell you to be true. I have no proof of it, and no one else has ever said this to me. I believe that in that building, at that moment, as he was walking around the building, there was a secret meeting of the head of the Palestine Liberation Government. And what that meeting was about, because 3 months after this event, there was an announcement out of Oslo, Norway, called the Oslo Accords. There was an attempt to create peace in the Middle East. It was brokered by the United States, but it was called the Oslo Accords. And I believe that when he walked around that building, he brought the energy of creation, the energy of balance, to people who have been taught to hate. And he brought them to a level where they could do free will. They could say free will. They could choose to participate in the Oslo Accords. Now, the Oslo Accords didn't work. Why? Who knows? I can give you all kinds of reasons. The point is that that energy brought it the possibility that it might have worked. And there will be peace in the Middle East. And we will bring it. The more of us who say the Anabakoach in our lives affect the quantum consciousness of the world. What you will learn in Kabbalah, and it's much too early to understand, what you will learn in Kabbalah is the only way to change the world is to change yourself. You cannot go out and change another human being. That's called coercion. That's called force. That's called command. Change yourself by choice. And because you are connected to every one of the 6.5 billion people on this earth, you change yourself, you change yourself within them. That little spark of you that is within them becomes changed. And that changes them. They and we are the same hand, the same arm. We are all part of the endless vessel. Saying the Anabakoach allows us to have balance in our life so that we can choose to change ourselves. And by changing ourselves, we change the world. Now, I'm going to start to sing the Anabakoach. The people on the internet will join us. They know it. They're familiar with it. Please join us as we go along. Anabakoach Gedulat Yamimcha Tatir Serula Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. If you don't sing the Anabakoch, but say it, and say two words at a time, there's a reason for that, but we don't need to go into it right now. That's the first verse. That's the verse of Chesed, which is mercy. That verse has a gematria, and it's the first letters of each word. That's the 42-letter name of God. 600 years ago, a Kabbalist wrote a song, and he put a word to each one of those letters. Because in our generation, having fallen spiritually, we are not able to use the letters directly. We need a vessel to hold the light of those letters. Otherwise, it can be too strong for us. That's why we sing these words. These words, even in Hebrew, do not make sense. They don't translate. They don't mean anything in Hebrew. In the other pages, you will see where I have given you the translations, and you will see it doesn't make sense. The words don't make sense, but the letters do. The letters of that first word, Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi, has a gematria of 506. That's the same gematria as the phrase Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love, love for no reason. That's the energy that you bring in when you say that first verse. That's what you can meditate on for as long as you have the time. Because we are in the month of Tevet, and in the month of Tevet, we use the first verse to connect the astrological sign of Gedi and the month, the Hebrew month of Tevet. We do so with the letters that created those months. The Ayin created the constellation Gedi, the Capricorn. The Bet created the planet Shabtai, the planet Saturn. Together, Ayin and Bet have a gematria of 72. That connects us to the 72 names of God, the 72 names from the Tzaddikim, and many other aspects from the number 72 that we will go into next week in our next class. The second verse, the verse of Gevurah, Kabel rinat amcha sagdenu taharenu noah. Kufrei Shayin, Sintet Nun. These six letters spell two Hebrew words. Kras Satan, which means tear up Satan. Tear up the force that gives us free will. The same six letters can be rearranged to spell Sha'ar Katan, two other Hebrew words. They mean small gates. And it's a reminder, a hint, for us to guard our gates, our eyes, our ears, our nose, our mouth, because this is the entry point for the negative system. The third verse, Tiferet, Na Gibor Dorshe Yehudcha Givavat Shamren Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. When I'm saying the letters, you should be looking at the letters at the end, and eventually you'll be able to memorize them. Nun Gimel Dalet has a gematria of 57, which is the same gematria as the Hebrew word zan, which means parnasah, sustenance. Sustenance is fulfillment of your desires. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence that helps us take back the energy we've given to the negative side through our mistakes. Fourth verse, Netzach. Barachem tacharem rachame sidkatcha tamid damlem. Adi Taf Gimel. This sequence connects us to the Sphera of Netzach, and Netzach's essence is eternal victory. Eternal victory in the one war that matters, the war against our desire to receive for oneself alone, our selfishness that we constantly have to battle against. Eternal victory is what we're connecting to with this verse. Fifth verse, Chod. Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvha Na'el Adata Et Kufet Tet Nunayim. This sequence connects us to Chod, the Sphera of Chod, which its essence is thankfulness, appreciation. And it reminds us to appreciate what we have received and to ask for more. The sixth verse, Yesod. Yachid ge'er lamcha p'nei zokrei kedushatah. Yud Gimel Lamed, Pei Zayin Kuf. This sequence helps speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, the sixth millennium, during this, our generation. The seventh verse, Malchut. Shavatenu Kabel, Ushma Tziyakatenu, Yodea. Talumo Shinkufav Sadiyutah. The first two letters, Shin and Kaf, Kuf, have a gematria of 400. That's four worlds times 10 sephirot within 10 sephirot. 400 is the amount of money that Abraham paid for the cave of Machpelah when he buried Sarah. 400 is the number of men that Esau came to attack Jacob with and ended up kissing him. 400 represents completion. It represents perfection. Something is not complete until it is perfect. If it's not perfect, it's not complete. The last four letters have a gematria of 506. The same as the first verse, the same as the phrase Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love. And what we learn from this is that the path to completion, the path to perfection, is through injecting unconditional love at every step in the process, step by step, love by love. The eighth verse, we say in a whisper. The whisper means that I hear it because I'm saying it, but if somebody is standing next to me, they cannot hear it. But I'm going to say it out loud for the purposes of teaching. But ultimately, this eighth verse purpose is to ground any excess energy that you might have drawn. Because you're drawing the energy of creation, and you're not the vessel, complete vessel of creation.
Rabbi, if I want it.
If you want it, build the vessel. And I'll show you how to build a vessel. You want it, you can build it. No problem. But you have to be willing to do the actions to build the vessel. Right now, you don't have it. So say the verse with me. Baruch Shem Kivod, Malchuto. Le'olam Ba'ed. That verse grounds any excess energy so it doesn't hang around you and create chaos in your life. Always say that verse. If you're feeling uncomfortable and out of balance and out of sorts and you don't have the papers in front of you and you haven't memorized it yet, say what you remember. I remember the Aleph. First letter. I remember the first word, Anna. Whatever you remember, say it. But always say that last verse, because whatever you've drawn that you cannot handle will be grounded. It's a protection shield. And we say it quietly so that the Satan doesn't come and get its energy as it goes into the ground. I say it out loud because I'm teaching. But I'll understand what it's done. Now, there's two aspects that I have not taught you in this. The Anava Koach, being the essence of creation, also means the days of the week were created. So in the pages that you printed out, you will see Monday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And right underneath them is Hebrew letters that you scan. Each verse, I said Chesed, that's Sunday. Gevura, that's Monday. Tiferet, that's Tuesday. Netzach is Wednesday. Hod is Thursday. Yesod is Friday. And Shabbat, or Sabbath, Malchut. Each day of the week, you have the opportunity to draw angels of positivity to be with you the whole day. The first time you say it, you stop at that verse of the day. Now remember, the day starts at sundown. So right now, we are in the evening of Monday. It's actually Tuesday. It's actually Tiferet. So I should have stopped on the third verse and said, look at the angels of Tuesday. I didn't, because it would have broken up the process. And in our classes, we assume that you're saying the Anava Koach other times in the day, so we don't do the angels every time. But you should do it at least once a day, connect to the positive angels. It's a tool that we all need. The other item I didn't teach you about is the page with all the tetragrammatons, all the names of God that look so strange, all the boxes. And I have marked up the box for you to follow how you scan it. This page is how you draw the light to to the parts of your body for healing. You say this, meaning you scan it, at the same month, the same verse connected to the month that you're in. Right now we're in the month of Tevet, that's the first verse, so I should have stopped you at the first verse and had you walk through the scanning. But let's go through it, and I'm going to say it quickly what each box represents. Follow with your eyes that box as I say it. Box 1 is your skull. Box 2 is your right brain. He already has it. Box 3. Box.
Pardon me, the marked up version?
Yeah.
I don't see the 163.
Okay, well, that's where it is. Box 3 is your left brain. Box 4 is your right eye. Box 5 is your left eye. Box 6 is your right ear. Box 7 is your left ear. Box 8, or row 8, is your right nostril. Row 9 is your left nostril. Box 10 is your mouth. 11 is your right arm and shoulder. 12 is your left arm and shoulder. Box 13 is your chest, from your neck to your diaphragm. 14 is your right leg, from your diaphragm to your knee. 15 is your left leg, from your diaphragm to your knee. 16 is your sex organ, going underneath your body and up your spine. and then back down your spine and back underneath your body to your sex organ. And 17 is the feet, which rep is from the knees to your toes. These parts of the body are parts of your soul. You are drawing the light of healing. You have the energy of creation, and within the energy of creation is the energy of healing. When was the last time you said, God, please don't give me a toothache? We don't say it. We don't even think it. By scanning this, when you say the Anabakoa, you are bringing healing before you need it. If you're in pain, if you still have it, and we'll talk about it in a few weeks about how to deal with that. But if you're you have something that's not well, use this part of the scanning to connect to it. Bring the energy of balance, which is the energy of creation, into your life. Say this 1,000 times a day, or say it once. Say it till you memorize it. Say it till you know it's right for you. But these are the tools of creation. It's the energy of creation. There is nothing more powerful in this life. Just by saying it, you can potentially manifest. We don't have the consciousness. In our generation, we've fallen so far spiritually. But we have a simple, who split the Red Sea? No. Read the English even. It says, God said to Moses, tell the people to go into the water. Tell the people to go into the water, stretch out your hand, and split the sea. Stretch out your rod and split the sea. Who split the Red Sea? Moses did, because he understood the consciousness he had to have, and these names, this 42-letter name, and the names I will teach you next week, the 72-letter names, were on that rod. They were carved into the rod, and he was able to activate them by saying them in a way that he was able to split what's called the Yam Suf. The translation Red Sea is a corruption. Yam means sea, no question. Suf means end. They were standing in front of the sea of end. What is an end? A limitation. God does not want us limited. We have to stop limiting ourselves. These are the tools that Kabbalah teaches us. This is the tool you are being given. Please use it. The Anabakoa, the Torah, and the Zohar. Is your body?
Well, and even the characters, and it box like box 6, box 7,
mm-hmm.
The same character.
Yes.
Okay. So.
And what did I say? Box 6 and box 7 is
right and
the right and left ear.
Yeah. Right. So those characters are really for an ear, self to the ear.
What those characters do is they have the matria. They're the tetragrammaton, the name of God that we call the God of Mercy, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. Those letters have a gematria. When you say the letter Yud, you're actually saying the way the word is spelled, Yud-Vav-Dalet. In English, if I say the letter C, I'm actually saying C-E-E.
Yeah.
Same thing in Hebrew, but in Hebrew it has much more meaning. So when I say Yud Bab Dalet, which is those first three letters. If I say Hey, I can spell Hey three ways. That one is spelled Hey Yud. The next letter, Vav, is spelled Vava. I don't remember, is it Aleph Vav or Vav Vav? The third set in that box. It doesn't matter because
I can't even read it, dude.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, I understand. It'll come back to me. But the fourth letter, the fourth one is the Hey Aleph. If you add up the letters in that box, the gematria is 58. 58 is the gematria of the word ozen, which means ear. That's why it's tied together. Each one of those boxes, each one of those words, are tied to a part of the body through a gematria or through some relationship. And that's why the Kabbalists use it and told us to use it. Are there any other questions? You're supposed to scan it in the order that it says. The middle box first, number one. Then the second box, the right brain. The third box, the left brain. The fourth box, the right eye. Now, when you're scanning it, you're drawing energy to that part of your body. The fifth box, the left eye. The sixth box, the right ear. The seventh box, the left ear. The eighth box, or the eighth column, is the right nostril. The ninth is the left nostril. The tenth is the mouth. You can literally visualize light coming down into that part of the body. It's a very effective visualization. Everybody has some form of meditation that they utilize. If they don't, and if you don't have a form of meditation, let me know and I will help you find one that works for you. We're not about to define, tell you to change your meditation methods. They've worked for you. They help you relax. They do what they do. All these are going to do is enhance what you're already doing. The Hebrew letters are necessary to move forward in your spiritual work. That's why we use them. No, you do not have to learn Hebrew, but you do have to scan them. And over time, you will come to understand what those letters mean. You will understand why the Aleph, which has the numerical value 1, represents unity. And you'll also understand why the song says 1 is the loneliest number. And you'll understand why 2, the Bet, and Monday, why do we call it Blue Monday? Because the fact that 2 means I'm not 1. And that energy, that consciousness, envelopes everything you do on Monday. And you'll come to understand that by seeing the patterns of the creation. And it will help you in your work. It will help you in your family. It will help you in your health. It will help you in every aspect of your life to see these patterns. That's what Kabbalah will come to mean to you over time. No, you can't know it now. It's not correct for you now. You don't have the experience yet, but it will come. And it starts by doing these practices. If you're willing to go to the synagogue on Saturday morning, great. Scanning the Zohar every day, 5 minutes a day or less. Saying the Anna Bekoach, 10 minutes a day or less. Can you find 15 minutes to do these things? I'm sure you can. When the payoff, the reason for doing it, is to remove chaos from your life. And I could quote you many, many people who come to this third class and come back to the fourth class and describe miracles. They describe their life changing because they started to do this. The Creator is a gift. He will give you these gifts. He will cause you to see the miracles, and then he will take it away, because you have to do the spiritual work. It's not that he takes it away, he wants you to grow.
Manifest
it yourself. Are there any questions? Stuart and Donna, I'm going to wish you good night. Shalom. We'll speak to you soon. I'm sure you do. I'm looking forward to it. Bye-bye. That Lila Tove. The gentleman who said he has a question for me. He literally meditates. Yes. Both of us.